Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Bad Behaviour Saved My Life. I'm your host Mel and I just want to start by saying I'm sorry that this is slightly late. I did promise a weekly episode but I am a woman with very little time and very little childcare. So it is something that I'm hoping to be more organised with, and there will be weekly episodes, I promise. So I am sorry this one's a little bit late, but just bear with me, I am doing my best. Also, I just want to say as well, so my first episode had over 100 downloads, and that to me is just absolutely amazing. I didn't expect that at all. So thank you so, so much to everybody who listened, who shared it, and who downloaded it. So it's really important that you download it. Otherwise, I don't know how many people are actually listening. It doesn't tell me if somebody's just listening. You have to actually just click download. And also, if you want to subscribe and rate it as well, then that will also help me out. So thank you so, so much for listening last week. This week I want to talk to you about how to make the most out of bad situations. So how to make the best out of any shitty situation that you've got going on in your life. Now, we've all usually got some area of our life that isn't going as well as we would hoped, or we're going through something in particular at the minute that's just really getting us down and is an awful situation to be in. We're then riddled with thoughts, why is this happening to me? Why is this not improving? And so on. And this just brings around more negative emotions for us. And it's like a never-ending cycle, isn't it? Of fear and shame and upset. And eventually we're just so angry about the whole thing and just feeling really sorry for ourselves. Now, does getting angry or feeling sad or feeling sorry for ourselves make the situation any better? No, it does not. Because more often than not, these are situations that are completely out of our hands. We have no control over them whatsoever. And I'm a massive believer that every situation that we're in, good or bad, particularly bad actually, comes with some valuable lessons. And even the worst situations that we can be in can teach us. And in some situations, actually save us. It's all about how you look at it and changing your mindset to see that actually in any given bad situation, what can you take away from that? How can you grow from what you've been through? With any bad situation, there is always, always an opportunity for growth. My God, do we grow as people when we're faced with fear, particularly. You know, I wouldn't know half the stuff that I know now or have the resilience that I have now in my life had I not been through all of the bad experiences that happened to me and come through the other end. Had my life been all easy breezy, you know, I wouldn't have half the tools that I have now to be able to face upcoming challenges. And these are lessons that I'll be passing down to my children to make sure that they have the tools and resilience in place that I can teach them without them actually having to go through all of this stuff themselves. So that's my main takeaway from things that I've learned and my bad experiences and how I've dealt with them and how I've changed my mindset to deal with them, is knowing that I can now pass all of this information on to other people to help them. A time in my personal life where I was put in a really, really bad situation, but looking back in hindsight, if that hadn't have happened, although it seemed so horrible at the time, the situation that I was put in literally saved my life. And it's when I went to prison. Now, going to prison isn't something that I really talk too openly about. It's only been recently, probably about the last year or two, I think, that I've actually spoken, well, that I've actually come out and let people know that that is something that happened to me. I was actually really, really ashamed, so, so ashamed of myself, but I'm not ashamed of that anymore. You know, it's part of my story, it's part of who I am. And it's part of what has got me to be the person that I am today. And I think for us to really truly love who we are today in this present moment, we have to be grateful for the things that happen to us, that put us in them situations, you know. So before I went to prison, I was street homeless. I was sometimes living off people's sofas. And there were periods of time where I was literally sleeping on the streets. I was in such a toxic, such a horrendous, violent relationship. I was literally begging outside McDonald's for money to go in and buy a burger to feed myself. I was using McDonald's toilets in the morning to wash, having slept in the park all night. And going to prison, although it seemed so unfair at the time, and I'll tell you the story of how it came about. If that hadn't happened to me, I literally wouldn't be alive today. Something would have happened to me. I would have got into so much trouble that I would have ended up dead. Million percent, I would not be here if I hadn't been sent to prison. That was like a safe space for me at the time. It took me off the streets. It stopped me drinking. It got me away from this horrendous man that I was with. So in January 2017, I opened up a hair salon and I hadn't drank since the beginning of the new year. So I hadn't drank for 3 weeks. So I thought I was cured. I thought I could take on anything. I mean, I still do. So I decided it would be a great idea to open a hair salon. And the salon had only been trading for 6 weeks. So I was not in a good frame of mind at all. My mental health was shocking, but because I hadn't drank for 3 weeks, I thought that I was absolutely fine. I wasn't getting any professional help. I was on a ridiculous amount of medication. I'd recently been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, so I was on quetiapine, which is an antipsychotic. I think I was on about 500 milligrams a day of that. I was on 7.5 mil every night of Zopiclone to sleep. I was on antidepressants. I was on sertraline. I was on these other like beta blocker things that I'd just take as and when for anxiety. And so I was on a huge amount of medication. And we had a launch day about 5 6 weeks into trading. And because things were going so well and I thought I was cured, I started drinking again. And I thought that I was a person that could just drink on occasions and could drink to celebrate like lots of other people. But the reality is, I can't. The reality is, I am an alcoholic and it's very much all or nothing. When I start drinking, I just won't stop. So we had this launch, and I started drinking again. Nothing bad particularly happened at the launch, everything was fine. But leaving the salon that night and returning back the next morning is all a bit of a blur. And I couldn't really tell you what happened. I genuinely, honestly don't remember if I woke up the next morning and carried on drinking. I mean, it does sound like something that I would do because that is how I behave with alcohol. Alcohol and me do not have a good relationship. We have an extremely toxic relationship. Probably the most toxic relationship I've ever been in. And I've been in some bad relationships. But my worst relationship is with alcohol. So the next morning, it's all a bit of a blur. I just remember going into the salon, just feeling really, really crap and hungover. Sorry, excuse me. And a fire literally just appeared out of nowhere. So I was the only person in the hair salon at the time. And I remember being, there was like a little back, like a little compartment bit out the back, like an open bit that led off from the kitchen. And it wasn't very big. It was probably about the size of a bathroom. And it was an open top, but it had brick wall around the side. So it was like a little smoking area. So I went out there for a cigarette and I could see smoke coming through. So when I went back into the salon, the main part of the salon, literally the entire wall, one of the walls was completely up in flames. So I ran back through to this open door, this open space out the back. The front door, the exit to leave the salon was completely blocked off from the fire, so I couldn't get out the front way. So I didn't know what else to do. I didn't have a phone on me, so I just ran out into this little open space, this little smoking area out the back, and shut the door. Of course, when I was in there, I was then locked in there. The only way to get out of there is the door back into the salon, and the only way out of there is the front door, which was blocked off by a wall of fire. So I stayed in there and shut the door, and then within a couple of minutes I started seeing smoke like creeping through underneath the door, the little gap at the bottom of the door frame, and this little enclosure that I was stuck in was slowly filling up with smoke. And I just remember, you know, when people say, oh, your life flashes before your eyes, my life flashed before my eyes. I genuinely thought that was me gone. I thought, this is how I'm going to die. I'm going to die in here. I'm going to suffocate. So I was trying to climb up this brick wall, and I was nowhere near reaching the top. I'm only 5'2". So I just remember screaming and jumping as high as I can and screaming out, help, help. And luckily there were shops either side of me. And one of the shops called the fire brigade and the police. So I think they turned up within about 5-10 minutes of me shouting. And they did say to me afterwards that they could see smoke coming out of the top of the salon. So they knew that there was a fire. So police and fire brigade turned up. And this whole enclosure was full of smoke by this point. I could barely see. I just remember a head popping over the top of this brick wall. They'd obviously put a ladder up there. And the top of it had like a mesh, a wire mesh. So even if I'd got to the top of the wall, I was stuck in there. It was like a cage. And I remember they ripped this wire mesh off and threw a ladder over the other side, told me to climb up it. So I climbed up it and they pulled me up over the wall. And after that is pretty much a blur. I mean, that part of screaming for help and being rescued is the only part of that ordeal that I remember. To this day, I have no recollection whatsoever of how that fire started. I don't know if I did it. It couldn't have been anybody else because there was nobody else in there. I was in there on my own. But I have no recollection of starting it. And in all honesty, I just don't believe that I would set a building on fire with me in it. It was my business. It was my baby. I had started this and I was so, so proud of it. And I'd started it in a really, really shit time in my life as well. And I was just so proud of what I'd achieved. And I didn't even have any insurance. I wasn't covered. I lost everything that I put into that salon. But who knows, you know, when your mental health's fucked, you do all sorts of crazy shit. So maybe I did do it. I don't know. And I will never know. But they must have smelled alcohol on my breath. So when I was taken from that burning building, I was hysterical, screaming, crying. And because I smelled of alcohol, I was literally cuffed by my hands and feet and thrown into the back of a riot van and taken to the police station and left in a cell for, I think it was about 9 hours, maybe even a little bit more. This was in the morning. I think this was about half past 10. And I wasn't interviewed till 11 o'clock that night. So I was literally just, I wasn't taken to the hospital to see if there was any damage from inhaling the smoke. I was literally thrown in the back of a riot van and just thrown in a cell to sober up. And then I was interviewed and released pending further investigation. And after that happened is when my life started to go really, really bad. So because that happened, I then lost my business. I had no income. I then lost the place I was living because having no income, I couldn't afford to pay for rent for anything. And slowly, slowly, things just, as if I didn't have enough taken from me already. You know, I didn't have my kids with me. And now everything else that I had that I was clinging on to was just being taken. The place I was living in, my business, my income, everything. And then I got into an extremely violent relationship. So it took them about a year, I think, just under a year, 11 months, because this happened in February. And I went to prison I had my trial and was sentenced in March the following year. So during that year, was probably one of the worst years of my life. That's like I was talking about before, when I was street homeless and just being fucking beaten up so badly all the time. I got into quite a bit of trouble with the police as well. It's something that I can't really talk about at the minute, but I am hoping to speak about in future episodes. It's something that's actually still ongoing. And yeah, it was just an awful, awful year. And then I got that sentence. So I went not guilty in my trial. I was very, very stubborn. And because I had no recollection of setting the fire, I thought, no, I'm not admitting to something that I genuinely believe I didn't do. So we went to trial. All of my history of mental health was all brought up. It was down that I was drunk at the time, that I had an alcohol problem, that I didn't have my kids with me. They just painted a really, really fucking shitty picture of me. They just painted me out to just be an absolute low-life scumbag and, yeah, just throw her in jail. But you know what? It's the best fucking thing that judge could have ever done for me. The best thing that could have happened to me at the time was getting that prison sentence, because, like I said, it took me off the streets. It took me away from violent relationships. It gave me a bit of stability. You know, you're monitored 24/7. When I first went in there, I was put on a detoxing wing. I think I was on there for about 2 weeks. And when I was in there, I went through loads of courses as well. So I did a course on alcohol relapse prevention, and it just gave me a safe space to recover, because that's what I needed, and I just wasn't being offered that from anybody outside. So although I didn't think it was fair at the time, you know, like I said, looking back, had I not gone to prison, you know, I thought it was the most unfair thing that could have ever happened to me, and I thought I didn't deserve it. And but if it hadn't happened, I would be dead. I wouldn't be here now. I feel like I really made the most of that time. I mean, I wasn't in there very long enough, believe me, long enough. So I got sentenced to 12 months, because even at the trial, there's no evidence. No evidence whatsoever. It was just my word, me saying I didn't do it. They're like, well, you're an alcoholic scumbag. You had your kids taken off you. We don't believe you. So yeah, to this day, I have no evidence whatsoever. So I did only get 12 months, and I did four. Did 4 months there, and then 4 months on an electronic tag in a bail house. But I feel like I just used the time so productively, and I used that time to really reflect. Could I have done that being street homeless? No. Could I have done that being battered? No. I would have just ended up being killed some way or another. So that's, I think, a prime example to share with you about how not all shitty situations really are as bad as they seem. And I've got some really, I think, useful helps and tips to share with you on how you can maybe change your mind about whatever shitty situation you might be going through at the minute. And these are things that you can start using right away. These are tools and things that you can do now. You know, if you've got something going on in your life that you think is really, really bad, I'm just going to share some things with you just to maybe help you try and change your perspective of it, and just, you know, see that actually there are lessons to be learned, and we can grow from these, and we can use these bad situations to our advantage. So firstly, stop giving your energy away to things that cannot be changed. Just accept it. And I know that sounds really easy for me to say, but accepting what's going on and just really leaning into it and feeling into it is going to clear so much space in your mind for you to then put that energy into what you can control. And that's your reaction to whatever's going on. You know, we don't have any control whatsoever about things that have happened to us. We've got no control over what people do. But what we can control is how we react to it. And I think that that's how we can take back our power. And I promise you, you will feel so, so much better already about just changing your reaction. Changing your reaction determines how you are going to feel about the situation moving forward. And like I said, no matter how bad it is, nobody else can control your reaction. All they can do is the things that they're doing to you, putting you in the situations that they're putting you in. You have the power about how you respond. And there's always growth, again, like I spoke about before. And once you've accepted it and taken your lessons from that and you've grown as a person, that is something to be so, so proud of. The second thing is to make a gratitude list. In any bad situation, there will always, always be things to be grateful for. You will be shocked, surprised about how many good things you can find in a bad situation. So I personally would advise writing them down. I think once you've written it, you've got it there in front of you. It's visual. You've got it to see. You've got it to refer back to. Again, another example of mine is when I have my children removed. That is probably the single most horrendous experience that has ever, ever happened to me. And not just me, to my children as well. Like, it was flipping horrendous for them as well, the way it was done. But that is a topic for another episode. Now, people have probably been like, oh my God, but you had your kids ripped away from you. How the hell can you be grateful about that situation at all? But things that I was very, very grateful for in that situation is that, yes, they were taken away from me. And yes, it was a horrible situation, but they were still living together. They were living in a safe, loving home. They went to live with my parents. Just for anybody that doesn't follow me on social media, anybody that doesn't know, they went to my parents. It wasn't my parents who instigated it, by the way. They stepped in and, again, for another episode. But yeah, the kids weren't separated from each other. They got to stay together and they were both fed and they were both clothed and they were healthy. You know, they were still healthy and it gave me space to sort my life out. It's something that I couldn't have done with them there because, you know, there was emotional damage going on. There was emotional abuse and not on purpose, of course, never on purpose, but there was. Me being in such a state that I was in was no good for them to see. So, you know, all these things I'm so grateful for about that situation that happened. And when I look at it, and actually, no, the one thing I am the most grateful for in that situation is that I still got to see them. I still got to spend time with them. I still got to speak to them on the phone. I still got to go to my mum's and see them, or they would bring them up to me. And, you know, I know a lot of people, well, not a lot, I know a few people in similar situations where they haven't been fortunate enough for their children to go to family and their children have gone and been adopted and they don't ever get to see them again. And as much as what happened to me is horrendous, you know, my God, I still got to see them. I still got to spend time with them. And I'm so, so fucking grateful for that. So grateful. And when I compare to other people in that situation who don't have all of them luxuries, and that was a luxury. That was a luxury for me in the state I was in, to still be able to spend time with my babies. That was a luxury. And it just makes the situation not seem as bad. And embracing change as well, you know, embracing change is such a good thing. Again, it's how we grow. And I know I've spoken about growth so much on this episode, but that's the main sort of objective, I would say, to take away from taking the good out of your bad situations is you will grow as a person. And who doesn't want to grow and be a better person and know more? And finally, is to just remind yourself that it will pass. It will pass. You know, the fact that you're sitting there thinking about it means it hasn't killed you. You know, try and, again, compare to other situations that you've been in. How did you feel? How you're feeling now, is that as bad? What did you do in those other situations to make you feel better? Okay, do that again. So, yeah, you know, just knowing that the storm will pass, it will get easier. You've overcome so many other things in your life and you will overcome this as well. Things will happen. shit will happen in life. That's just life. There is nothing any of us can do about that. But there's only one person that has the power to change the outcome, and that is you. You can't do anything about the situation, the reasons why you're in the situation that you're in, because obviously that's the past. And there isn't anything we can do about that. But what we do have the power to do is change the outcome of it. And only you can do that. You have the power to do it. It's just thinking about it a bit differently. I saw an amazing quote last night that I just want to finish up with. So, you know, I'll have to hit you up with some facts. So the quote is, the Chinese use two brush strokes to write the word crisis. One brushstroke stands for danger, the other stands for opportunity. In a crisis, be aware of the danger, but recognise the opportunity. What an amazing quote is that? And I think that's just really fitting to round this episode up with. So, thank you so, so much for listening again. Like I said, I'm sorry it's a little bit late. I am going to do another episode this week, so it will be one a week. And I'm going to try my very, very best to make sure that there is one uploaded weekly, usually on a Friday. So today, what are we, Wednesday? So I am going to do another episode tomorrow and upload that for you on Friday. But thank you so much for listening. I really hope that you've managed to take something away from this, or that I've given you some information that you can perhaps implement into your own life. Or if you know somebody else that this may help, please, please share it with them, share it on your social media. If you're not following me on social media at the minute, I am at Bad Behaviour Saved My Life. Just give me a follow on there and feel free to ask me any questions. And just share this with everyone and anyone that you think needs to hear it. And I'll be back recording another episode tomorrow. So thank you, and I will speak to you soon. Bye.